Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, Pittsburgh. Good morning, Pitt fans. Good morning, 93.7 The Fan listeners. This is the Panthers Insider Show, and I am Chris Peek, your Saturday morning host for an hour of all Pitt sports talk. We always like to say that we get this little hour to carve out here, an hour of 93.7 The Fan programming. Once a week, Saturday mornings, 8 a.m., we get to sit down and talk a little Pitt sports here on the Panthers Insider Show. And it's not the only hour of Pitt sports talk that you're going to hear here on 93.7 The Fan. I mean, there's Pitt sports talk all over the place on the airwaves. I think Heather Like was a guest on The Fan this week. And certainly the different shows throughout the day talk about Pitt sports. But this is the hour that you get dedicated just to Pitt sports talk. Nothing else. No other sports. We just talk about Pitt football, basketball, recruiting, scheduling, anything that's going on in the world of Pitt sports, we talk about it right here on the Panthers Insider Show. Of course, you should know the website, panther-lair.com, pittsburgh.rivals.com. It's the most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news on the internet. That's where I'm from. That's what I do. That's my day job. And if you enjoy this radio program, if you like Pitt sports, you should check out that website. I'll tell you more about that later in the show. We got plenty to talk about here on this hour on 93.7 The Fan. A whole gamut of topics, but I mean, we got to start with the ACC schedule, and we don't have dates yet. We don't know when they're going to play these games, but we at least know who Pitt is scheduled to play. The ACC announced on Wednesday that the teams in the ACC would play 10 conference opponents, and this was what had been talked about for a while, that it was going to be 10 conference opponents. And you heard different sort of scenarios laid out for how that could look. At one point, there was talk about playing five opponents, basically, and playing them on a home-and-home basis. And you'd have your five teams that you would face, and you'd play them home-and-home, and that would be your 10-game schedule. That was kind of floated there for a while, not officially by the ACC, but according to sources, it was something that the ACC was considering. Not my sources, but according to reported sources, different people reported it. And I thought that was an interesting scenario. I mean, before we go too far down the road here, I'll just say this. There is a part of me that looks at 2020 in all sports, but certainly in college football, and just says, look, man, if we're going to get weird, let's get weird. You know, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Let's really get crazy with it. Let's do something really weird with this schedule this year, because all, you know, everything is on the table. All bets are off. You know, nobody knows what this season is going to be, and it's obvious that it's not going to look like any other season that's ever been played in the history of college football, where it's being basically made up on the fly a month before the season's going to start. So we might as well get crazy with it, you know, and really go off the rails. And I'd say that for all sports, and I would certainly say that for college football. Like, yeah, let's play five home and homes. Let's only play five opponents. Let's play a team twice in a season in the regular season. You know, I mean, nobody in college football plays the same opponent twice in the regular season. You might end up with a rematch in a conference championship game, but you're not going to have two teams facing each other twice in the regular season. Let's do it this year, though. You know, if everything's going to be weird this year, if everything's going to be kind of crazy and have an asterisk this year, we might as well get nuts with it and try some different scheduling formats. I mean, not to go too far off on a tangent, but I keep saying this about the whole work from home thing, right? Companies were never going to willingly take like 6 months and find out if it works to have some significant percentage of their employees work from home or work remotely. Like, a company would never be inclined to do that. They would never make that decision of like, let's try this experiment, because there's too much of a potential for lost revenue, right? I mean, it could blow up in your face. Well, since March or April, a lot of companies have had no choice. You know, they've sort of been forced to do this or forced themselves to do this. And what they're finding out is that it kind of actually works. People actually can work from home. And now I think companies are going to react. And I've been saying this since like May, just talking, you know, in conversation with people of like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see more people working remotely a year from now, 2 years from now. Companies say, why do we have this big office space? We don't need it. People actually can be productive working from home and working remotely. So let's do it. So it was, their hand was forced, and they tried something, and they found, I think they're finding out. I think they're finding out that, hey, this other way actually works, and in some ways it's actually better. Let's do this more often. And it's not something they would have ever chosen to do. You know, they would never have done it voluntarily or done it willingly. But because they had to do it, they're finding out it actually kind of works. And it's sort of a, not necessarily the same thing as a necessity is the mother of invention type of thing, but, you know, we're going to force you to make this change. And then when you find out it actually works, you're like, well, let's do that. I would have liked to have seen, or I would like to see college football do the same thing of, okay, we're forced to adapt and do something different this year and take a different structure to our schedule and our season and what the year looks like. So I say, get nuts with it and try something completely off the wall. Everybody's going to look back. If the college football season in 2020 is played, everybody's going to look back and have an asterisk next to it, right? Everybody's going to say, yeah, but that was the COVID year when they only played 10 games, or they only did this, or they only did that, or, you know, this team was missing these guys, or this team was minus those players who either opted out, like the kid from Virginia Tech did, or they were sick and they couldn't play this game or that. There's going to be no end to the asterisks that get attached to the 2020 college football season if it actually gets played. So you might as well add a few asterisks of your own and get a little bit weird with it. Something like playing five home and homes, five opponents home and home. I would have loved to have seen that. I just think it would have been really interesting to see what happens when you play a team the second time. You know, and maybe it was too difficult to work out that schedule, but hey, you know, you set up a pod system, right? If you're able to get Notre Dame to agree to join the conference for this 1 year, that gives you 15 teams. You set up three pods of 5 and 5. But anyway, that's not what's happening. As I spend all this time talking about how much I would have liked to have seen that happen, that's not what's happening. What is happening instead is a 10-game conference season, as you've seen, and it's, you know, retained some of the opponents from what was previously scheduled, and then the rest of the schedule was kind of jumbled around. And for Pitt, that means losing games again at North Carolina, at home against Duke, and at Virginia. Those three games came off the schedule. What got added to the schedule was a game against Louisville at home, a game against NC State at home, a road game at Boston College, and a road game at Clemson. Yes, a road game at Clemson. Now, you also have the Notre Dame game, which will be a home game, and that's going to count as an ACC contest since the ACC convinced Notre Dame to join the league for 1 year as a football member, sharing its revenue and all of those things. But it's hard to look at it and say Pitt's schedule got easier as a result of this change. I mean, when you drop, you know, Carolina was going to be good. They're going to be good this season. You drop North Carolina, okay, that's a positive for Pitt. That's one less challenging team to face. Duke and Virginia, though, I don't have high expectations for either one of those teams in 2020. I think Virginia is going to be rebuilding after losing the quarterback. And I think Duke, I don't know. I just don't take Duke very seriously. And I think, you know, they got a transfer quarterback in this year, which could be interesting, but they just don't seem to have enough talent to consistently beat Pitt. And Pat Narduzzi's never lost to Duke. I think Pitt has only lost to Duke once since joining the ACC, and that was in that 2014 game when Chris Blewett missed the, what was it, like a 26-yard field goal because he was set up from the right hash. There was a whole story behind that. But that's the only time, right? That's the only time Duke has beaten Pitt. Even in 2017, Pitt didn't lose to Duke. They've had close games. You know, all along, there have been a lot of close games. I mean, you go back to 2013, Tom Savage threw for like 8,000 yards, and it was still like a close game. It came down to the fact that Pitt's defense had like four interceptions. They gave up 40 points, but they had like four interceptions, and they needed it. Needed every one of those to win. 2016 wasn't really a close one. 2017, Darren Hall ran for 300 yards or something. But it still was like a one-score game, if I believe, in 2017. 2018 was the game where it was going to overtime until Kenny Pickett heaved one into the end zone for Maurice French, made an amazing catch, an amazing play. And then 2019 was a game that Pitt was in control of, but then they shot themselves in the foot over and over again in the third and the fourth quarter and ended up letting Duke back into the game. And they ended up, you know, they finally won on a, you know, almost last second play. I mean, kind of reminiscent of 2018. So, I mean, there have been some competitive games between Pitt and Duke, but I don't think you would look at Pitt's schedule for 2020 as it was originally constructed and say, boy, Duke looks like the tough game. Actually, with the way Duke, the way the schedule was originally set up, where you had Miami of Ohio, Richmond, and Marshall as your first three games, the non-conference games, and then Duke at home in the fourth week of the season, there was a realistic expectation that Pitt would open the year going 4-0, which they haven't done in quite some time. And I think that was what people expected, is that Pitt would beat Duke. I don't think they're, you know, you don't circle Duke on the count on the schedule as being the really challenging team. So you lose Duke and Virginia, and I, you know, it's unfortunate, I guess, if you want to stack wins, if you're trying to win games, it's unfortunate to take Duke and Virginia off the schedule. Now you're adding a mixed bag of teams in Louisville, NC State, Boston College, and Clemson. Obviously, Clemson is the monster here. You know, the boogeyman, and for good reason. Louisville, I think, is going to be pretty good. I think they have a chance to have a pretty strong team, a pretty competitive team. NC State won like four games last year. Boston College is in their first year with Jeff Hafley as the head coach. You know, who knows what that's going to be, but they lost their running back, who was a big, big piece of the, whatever success they actually had last year. And you're getting all those games. Well, you're not getting all of them. You're getting NC State and Louisville and Heinz Field, but you're going on the road to Boston College and Clemson. Adding Clemson to any schedule is going to make it tougher. Adding Clemson to the schedule in addition to Louisville is going to make the schedule tougher, particularly when you're then dropping Duke and Virginia. You know, you effectively replace Duke and Virginia with NC State and Boston College, which, I don't know, in some respects may actually be a step down in competition. That might, you might have a better chance against NC State and Boston College than you would have had against Duke and Virginia. And Duke and Virginia were two games that I expected Pitt to win. And so you add in, you know, let's call it a wash. And then you take one of the challenging teams off the schedule in North Carolina, but you add Louisville, we'll call that a wash, and then you add Clemson on top of it. The schedule got tougher. Oh, and they moved the Georgia Tech game from Heinz Field to Atlanta. This schedule is tougher than what it was originally supposed to be in 2020. And what does that mean for Pitt? Well, it means they got a tougher schedule to play now. They got less margin for error. They're playing 10 conference games. And the two teams at the top of the conference with the highest conference winning percentage are going to the ACC championship game. There's no divisions. You just have to win more than everybody else. And it's not going to be easy because, like I said, this is a challenging schedule. Let's talk about what this schedule means for Pitt, what Pitt's chances are against it, what would count as a successful season playing a 10-game ACC conference schedule, and the grand conspiracy of the triangle. We've got lots to talk about when we come back here on the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're talking about Pitt getting its ACC schedule, or at least its list of ACC opponents this year. 10-game season, as it's going to boil down. 10 ACC games for Pitt, and they, you know, the conference adjusted the opponents Pitt will face. Like we talked about, they dropped North Carolina, which was supposed to be a road game. They dropped two home games, Duke and Virginia, and then replaced them with home games against Louisville and NC State and road trips to Boston College and Clemson. In addition, of course, they have the home game against Notre Dame. That'll count as part of it. And then they flipped, the ACC flipped the Georgia Tech game, which was supposed to be at home, flipped it to a road game. And so effectively what you've got, and you add it to some of the schedule that was retained, that included a road trip to Miami and a road trip to Florida State. So with Miami, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Clemson, and Boston College, you've got literally the five longest possible road trips you could have. Now, when it comes down to it, you know, these teams are chartering flights. Traveling is not a big deal, although it costs more the further you go. But it is funny how it worked out. Pitt's five road trips are quite literally the longest possible road trips they could have. You know, there's no concern for travel here. There's no regional gameplay here. Pitt is going as far as they possibly could while playing ACC opponents and going to those five schools. So it's kind of funny how that worked out. I don't necessarily believe in conspiracies, but we might have to talk about it a little bit when we come back after the update here on the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Chris Peake. Glad to be here talking a little Pitt sports with you on a Saturday morning. You wake up, you have your coffee, get your paper, make your pancakes, your waffles, and listen to a little Pitt sports talk. And we've been talking about the ACC schedule that was released for Pitt, or at least a list of opponents. Not a schedule release yet. We haven't gotten dates. Not sure when that'll come. But we got the opponents out there. Pitt has 10 opponents on the slate. Real quick rundown if we missed earlier in the week or earlier in the program when we were talking about it. Home games against Louisville, Notre Dame, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, and NC State. And road games at Florida State, Georgia Tech, Miami, Clemson, and Boston College. And certainly the schedule got tougher when you drop North Carolina, Duke, and Virginia, and you add Louisville, NC State, Boston College, and most importantly, Clemson. Clemson being the real, the real monster here, sending Pitt on the road to face Clemson. Panthers are set to host Clemson next year, 2021. Clemson is supposed to come to Heinz Field. You would assume that they're going to go just sort of pick up the schedule there and not try to make adjustments after already making adjustments this year. But it would be two consecutive trips for Pitt to face Clemson on the road. Of course, they went down there in 2016. That worked out pretty well for the Panthers. 2020, who knows what that situation will be? Who knows where where both teams will be? Who knows? There are a lot of questions about what that'll look like. One thing I think you can feel pretty confident about is that Clemson's going to be pretty good. And anybody who, in this reshuffled ACC schedule, ended up with Clemson on their slate, I mean, they can't feel real great about it, particularly not if they have to go on the road to face Clemson. I mean, there's an element of, hey, you got to play who you got to play. You know, conference tells you who to go play. You go play him and you try and win. You approach every game the same, blah, blah, blah. But I think, you know, it didn't have to be this tough. You know, they could have had a challenging schedule that didn't necessarily have to include a road trip to Clemson. And, of course, conspiracy-minded folks among us certainly looked and noticed that North Carolina and Duke and NC State, the so-called triangle teams, are not facing Clemson this year, which is interesting because NC State was even in the same division as Clemson, and one of the division opponents they lost was Clemson. Duke and Carolina not drawing Clemson on their schedules either, and it sort of feeds into the ongoing conspiracies that are always sort of lurking out there, and I don't go too far down that road. You know, I don't think the conference sets out to screw anyone over in particular. Pitt certainly got a challenging schedule. Their schedule, the strength of their schedule went up in this change. I don't think the ACC sat down and said, all right, guys, first order business. How can we give Pitt the business on this schedule? I don't know if they necessarily sat down and did that. I also don't know if they sat down and said, all right, what can we do to help out, you know, our local Carolina teams here? I don't think it's that explicit. I don't think it's that overt. I don't think it's that intentional. I do think, and this comes from a couple different places, I do think that Pitt and Syracuse, to a large extent, and then maybe even to a slightly lesser extent, like Virginia Tech, Boston, especially Boston College, and Miami, are still kind of the new guys. And I think it even applies to those three teams, Virginia Tech and Miami and Boston College, even though they've been in the league for 15, 16, 17 years now. I think it definitely applies to Pitt and Syracuse. There's a feeling that they're the new guys. And whether that comes through in decisions that the conference makes or just a general perception and vibe. And I got to admit that a lot of this is colored by following ACC traditional media on like Twitter. You know, I mean, reporters who have been covering the ACC and ACC schools for a long time, especially reporters in the Triangle. I mean, they're so far. I don't know what. There's so many ways I could say what I'm thinking right now that I cannot say on this, you know, Saturday morning radio program. I mean, you know, parents are in the kitchen listening to this radio show while their kids are in the other room watching cartoons. I assume that's what still happens on Saturday mornings. I mean, I can't really say, you know, the words that I'm thinking, but so many of the ACC media are just so high on the idea of the ACC as being what it once was that schools like Pitt and Syracuse and even, I think to some extent, Boston College, maybe not so much Virginia Tech, but to some extent Miami even, are still, there's a vibe of feeling like they're sort of interlopers, you know, that they're not really here. They're the new guys who just kind of came in to keep the numbers up and keep the ACC sort of able to stay in the Power Five conferences because they have enough, you know, member schools. And it's just kind of the vibe you pick up on. And I think some of the, I think there is a little bit of a feeling of that from, you know, the conference. Not necessarily, again, in decisions they make. I don't think they make decisions intentionally to screw Pitt or screw Syracuse or whoever. And I don't think they go over the top with trying to favor Duke and Carolina. But, I mean, come on. You take Clemson. Clemson doesn't end up on the schedule of any of those three teams. You know, Clemson had to face 10 teams, all right? So that's 10 opponents. Okay, you have 15 total teams. Take Clemson out of it. So they have 14 potential opponents, right? 14 potential opponents from which you could take 10. And not one of those 10. So, I mean, there were four teams that were not going to get Clemson this year. And three of those four are Duke, Carolina, and NC State. I mean, really, if anybody should be mad about this, it should be Wake Forest. They should be like, what the heck, guys? We're in North Carolina, too. Don't we get the special treatment? I don't know. I mean, I'm going too far down conspiracy theory lane here, and I don't usually think of things in these sort of conspiracy theory ways. It's not really, I'm not really sold that this conspiracy theory exists, but geez, I mean, you didn't help the cause for people who are trying to, I mean, you didn't, you stoked the fires, I guess is what I would say. When you go out and make a schedule like this that doesn't put Clemson on the schedule for any of those three teams. I mean, just so happens to give it to, you know, give a road game to Pitt and who else is Clemson hosting? Boston College, Miami, Syracuse, Virginia. So, you know, I think if you're looking at ACC favorites, I mean, well, Miami was probably picked to finish better than Pitt, so you know maybe not. I mean, you're not necessarily. They're not really challenging Clemson. I think with this schedule, when you look at it, I mean, the home games, they have Boston College, Miami, Pitt, Syracuse, Virginia. So Boston College, Syracuse, Virginia are probably not going to be very good this year. On the road, Clemson goes to Florida State, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest. So Georgia Tech and Wake are probably not going to be very good this year. Don't really know what Florida State's going to be. They didn't get the toughest schedule. I would contend that Pitt's schedule is tougher, you know, I would think, this season. But I don't know. Like I say, I don't go too far down the road of conspiracy theories. I don't like to get into that too much. I don't think anyone sat down. I think scheduling 15 teams on a 10-game schedule was complicated enough that it would have been difficult to sit down and say one of your top priorities is to screw Pitt. You know, and I think it would be equally difficult to say one of your top priorities is to help the three triangle teams, you know, but it's awfully funny that it worked out that none of them has to face Clemson. It's awfully funny. All right. Enough of that. Let's talk a little bit more about what this 10-game schedule will look like and what it'll take to actually win this thing. What do you need to do? How many games do you think you need to win to get yourself to Charlotte for the ACC championship game. We'll discuss that when we return here on the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, welcome back to Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Chris Peek. We're talking about this ACC in 2020. Talked a lot about the opponents that Pitt is facing and going to face. And there's a question, I think, you know, it's going to be really interesting because there are no divisions this year. There's no Atlantic Division, no Coastal Division. It's one division. And I'm looking forward to this. I think it's going to be neat. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out because there's been a lot of talk in the past about, I mean, usually because people have looked down on the Coastal Division. So the past few years when, I mean, a different team has won it every year. But I think the past few years when, you know, when it's been Georgia Tech or Duke or Pitt or Virginia, there's been a feeling of, boy, that sucks. You know, it's you know, stinks we got to take the Coastal team. It'd be better to just take the top two teams in the league. And there are times when it would have worked out that it would have been, if you just gone by conference winning percentage or conference records, you would have had two Atlantic teams playing in the conference championship game. Not as many times as you would think. I think there were plenty of times where it still would have worked out to be the Coastal champ in the ACC championship game. Like even when Pitt went to the ACC championship game, when they won the Coastal, they went 6-2 in the ACC that year. Syracuse was second place in the Atlantic. They also went 6-2, but Pitt would have had a head-to-head tiebreaker, right? Because they beat Syracuse head-to-head, unless the conference tried to make it like top-ranked team because Syracuse was ranked higher than Pitt at the end of the season. But if you're just going on records and sort of traditional tiebreakers, records, you know, head-to-head and that kind of thing, Pitt still would have gone to the ACC championship game, even if they only played in one, you know, if they just took the top two teams instead of the two division championship winners. So I think it's going to be really interesting this year, though, just to mix it up a little bit, to see what actually happens when you throw all these teams into a pot. They're each going to play 10 games, which is a pretty big sample size. You're going to get enough overlap of in terms of common opponents that I don't think you'll just say, well, they didn't play this or they only played these teams or whatever. You're not just going to win the Coastal. You're not going to just win the Atlantic. You're going to have to beat a pretty impressive and considerable cross-section of teams from both divisions in order to get there. So the question is, what kind of record is it going to take to finish in that top two? If you reasonably expect Clemson to go, say, you know, 11-0 or 10-0 or whatever, what are the other teams going to have to do in order to make it? We'll talk about that when we return after the update here on the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Peek, glad you could join us this morning to talk a little Pitt sports here on 93.7 The Fan. Of course, I'm from PantherLair.com. It's Panther-Lair.com, Pittsburgh. .rivals.com. It's the most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news on the internet. Football, basketball, recruiting. We cover it all at PantherLair.com. And of course, we also have message boards where you can interact with hundreds and thousands of your closest Pitt fan friends. Message boards get a bad rap. They really do, and understandably so in a lot of instances. But the PantherLair.com message board has been around for a long time. And it really is, I think, the best online gathering place for Pitt fans. I mean, I think if you're listening to this program, there's a pretty good chance that you are a Pitt fan. And if that's the case, well, you probably like to talk about Pitt sports. I mean, that's why you're listening to the show. You like to listen to talk about Pitt sports. You probably like to talk to other people about Pitt sports. You like to interact with other people about Pitt sports. Well, here's your opportunity. You really can't go to the bar and sit there and have a beer and talk to your friend about, you know, Pitt's schedule and how, you know, the ACC didn't put Clemson on the schedule for North Carolina or Duke or NC State and how they sent Pitt to go play at Clemson and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you can't go to a bar and talk to your friend about that, but you can go to the message boards at PantherLair.com and talk to hundreds and thousands of Pitt fans about that. So it's really, like I say, I think it's the best place online to talk Pitt sports with other Pitt fans. The PantherLair.com premium message boards are really, I mean, I think it's some of the most dedicated fans in Pitt's fan base. I think some really hardcore Pitt fans go there and talk about Pitt sports all day long. We talk about football, we talk about basketball, and we talk about recruiting. It's like this radio program, but it's like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, there's always conversation happening on the PantherLair.com message boards, in addition to the content that we provide. I feel like it's like a 50-50 deal. We put out a lot of articles and content and news updates and analysis and all this kind of stuff, opinions and everything. And then the other half of the appeal, maybe more for some people, is the message boards, where they can talk about all that content and whatever the latest news is with other Pitt fans. And obviously a big conversation piece late in the week, well, in midweek on, was the release of the ACC schedule, the opponents. It's what we've been talking about throughout this radio program so far today. You know, through our hour of Pitt talk, we've been talking about this whole time of who Pitt's going to face this year. And I think, you know, a bigger question, or the kind of the next question you move on to, and you take it into consideration with knowing who Pitt's going to face and where they're going to play, home and away, there's a question of what it's going to take to get to Charlotte for the ACC championship game. You know, this isn't Atlantic Division and Coastal Division this year. It's one big division, 15 teams, the 14 ACC teams plus Notre Dame. They're eligible. The Irish are going to play 10 ACC games too. They're going to be in the ACC standings, and they're going to have a chance to go to the ACC championship game. So you have 15 teams all in one division, and the two teams at the top with the best conference record are going to go to the title game. And I think it's really interesting. It's an interesting change for one year to do it this way, and kind of see how it goes. You know, I don't know if the ACC would ultimately change it permanently. I think they're kind of forced. Well, they're not forced to do it this way, but, you know, due to some of the challenges and uniqueness of the season and the way they've had to adjust the schedule, I think it makes sense to go to a 15-team single division and play it that way for this year. And so if you kind of assume, not kind of, you assume Clemson is going to be there. You assume Clemson's going to probably go in those 10 ACC games, 9-1, 10-0 at the, you know, 10-0 probably, 9-1 at the worst, right? All right, so everybody else is battling for that one spot to face Clemson in the ACC championship game. And I mean, you don't want to pencil Clemson in automatically, but until somebody actually knocks them off, you kind of have to pencil them in. And so not who is going to be that team to face Clemson, but how will that team end up in that spot where they face Clemson? And what I mean by that is, what kind of record are you going to need to get to Charlotte? I think obviously 10-0 will get you there. I think 9-1 will get you there. I think those two are automatics. 8-2 might be the lowest you can have. Yeah, I mean, we could end up in a situation where there's like 4-7-3 teams, or 5-7-3 teams, or 6-7-3 teams. I haven't done the math to figure out if that could actually happen, but it seems possible. You got 15 teams playing 10 games. I think it's possible you could have a whole bunch end up at like 7-3. I don't know if I think that will happen, but I think it's possible. I think the minimum record for a team that's going to make it to Charlotte has to be 8-2. I don't think you can, if you go 7-3, I think you're going to need a whole bunch of tiebreakers to get you into the ACC championship game. You know, I think if you go 8-2, you have a pretty good chance of making it. I think that's got to be what you shoot for, is 8-2. I think if you do worse than that, you're leaving way too much up to fate. If you go 8-2, there's a decent chance you're going to need to win a tiebreaker. You know, with 15 teams, if you take out Clemson going 9-1 or 10-0, you have 14 teams. It wouldn't be a surprise if two of them go 8-2. I think you're going to have a lot of teams with similar records here. It was a question of, can you get to 8-2? If you can, then I think you've got a pretty good chance. You might lose it on a tiebreaker, but I think you've got a really good chance of getting to the championship game. Can Pitt do it? We'll talk about that as we wrap up the show here on the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show on 93.7 The Fan. Final segment here with me, Chris Peek, before we reach the top of the hour. And talking about whether Pitt can get to 8 wins on this 10-game ACC schedule, whether, you know, if it's possible for the Panthers to pull it off. And because I feel like 8 wins is probably what you're going to need. You're probably going to need to go 8-2 in the ACC games to have a real good shot at getting to Charlotte for the ACC title game. I think if you only win seven, you're leaving a whole lot up to fate. You're leaving a whole lot up to chance and tiebreakers, and it's probably not going to break your way. 8-2, I think the odds favor you getting there. 9-1, I think you're there. 10-0, you're definitely there. 9-1, I think you're 95%, 99% there. 8-2, I think the odds are still pretty heavily in your favor, although you could lose a tiebreaker. 7-3, I think your odds are starting to balance out, if not work against you. Can Pitt win 8 games on these 10 games? I mean, I look down the schedule. I think Syracuse, NC State, Georgia Tech, Boston College. That's 4. Those should be the 4 that you, I don't want to say you definitely win or you count as wins, but you should win those 4. To get your other 4 wins to get 8-2, you got to beat Louisville, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, Florida State, Miami, Clemson. 6 teams. Can you go 4-2 against that stretch? Louisville, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, those 3 are at home. Florida State, Miami, Clemson, those 3 are on the road. I think, Miami was there for the taking last year. They might be better this year with a new quarterback, but I think Pitt's offense should be better as well. That's a game, I mean, out of those 6 I just mentioned, I might say you have the best chance of winning that. Oh, Virginia Tech at home. I mean, you shouldn't lose that game either. You should be able to beat Virginia Tech at home. And quite frankly, I mean, you got to beat Miami at some point. They're not that good to be able to get over them. And then Florida State, it's on the road. It's tough. It's Florida State. But they've been down. They got a first-year head coach. Who knows what they're going to be? Louisville, you should be competitive with. Notre Dame, they've always been competitive with, even when they don't win. And then Clemson. I don't know. We're going to have to think more about this, but we're out of time here on the Panthers Insider Show. I shouldn't have waited till the end to talk about that. Check out the website, panther-lair.com. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for another Panthers Insider Show. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday morning.